Hello, my name is Nectarios Leontiadis, and I will talk to you about our adventures with Nicholas Christine and Tyler Moore to score some Viagra for the past year. In general terms, we are interested in how online crime works. We're interested in measuring the size of online crime, understanding its structure, if any, and its effectiveness. But why is that? Having detailed knowledge of the mechanics of the online crime can help us identify weak points and combat it more efficiently. Is there a single actor behind every online fraud, or is there a complex supply chain like the one we're observing with computer viruses? We decided to focus on the illicit online prescription drug trade because of its impact. Being able to self-medicate is an extremely dangerous activity. For example, taking the wrong dosage of a drug or consuming a drug that one is allergic to can be lethal. As with any other form of trade, advertising is very essential for an efficient outcome, which is profit. And online prescription drug trade is not an exception, as we will see. This exposure provides us with the insights that we need. Historically, miscreants have been using three forms of illicit online advertising. Email spam has been extensively utilized, but its unsolicited nature makes it very inefficient. For this reason, the cyber criminals have adapted other promotional techniques. Social network and blog spam exploits my trust to my friends and will probably make me click on a malicious link posted in my friend's Twitter account, for example. Search engine manipulation, which is the mischievous cousin of search engine optimization, has been around for a long time and has recently been in the focus of the miscreants for the promotion of prescription drugs. Its efficiency lies in providing information relevant to users' interests by inflating malicious results when a user searches for a specific commodity. A recent variant of this attack utilizes web servers to this end, and the illicit activity we are analyzing is using this method as its advertising vector. As an example, I have a video here. I search for no prescription Cialis. I will get a bunch of results that are related to this specific term, but as you can see, I also get some weird results. For example, we don't expect the University of Massachusetts to sell drugs. Instead, when I click on that, you see an online store. Instead of getting a web page located under the university's domain here, I do go to an entirely different website. If I instead type in the address of the result in my browser, I'll get the legitimate website. So what just happened? I'm searching for no prescription Cialis. I get the results page that presents legitimate and malicious links. And if I visit a malicious link, the malicious code that is injected to the compromised server will redirect me through a series of 302 redirections to an online pharmacy. This redirection is handled automatically by my browser, and as that, it works transparently behind the scenes. We identified the high-level technical details that make this possible. There are two requirements that need to be met. First, the web page has to be using a web application that has some kind of vulnerability, or it has to be hosted on a vulnerable hosting platform. If either requirement is met, the miscreants inject code that alter the behavior of the web server and make it provide different content based on the type of request it receives. So we have a generic traffic, which is traffic from browsers going either directly to the web page or through links other than drug-related search results, which make the server provide the original content. We have traffic coming from search engine crawlers, which make the server provide a mixture of the original content plus some additional drug-related terms, making the web pages attractive to the search engines for these queries. And third, we have traffic coming from drug-related search result pages. The last type of request initiates a redirect chain. Clicking on the infected result, in this case, the UMass website, redirects us to the statscenter.com. This single redirect server, we redirect traffic to the pharmacies on your right-hand side, one at a time. I should point out that redirectors are not necessarily infected machines and are not necessarily pharmacy sites. They merely fan out the traffic they receive from the infected websites to the pharmacy stores. So each time I click on the specific result, I will be presented with one of these pharmacies. So hopefully by now you have some understanding of the attack we are investigating and our motivation. In the rest of this talk, I will talk about the way we are collecting that data and the effect of this attack on the search results. We'll also talk about the insights we get by analyzing the network of redirection chains. And I will conclude with the first estimate of the success of this form of illicit advertisement. Our collection engine gathered almost 9 months worth of data about the websites that are infected, the servers that they redirect to, and the online pharmacies, along with the redirection chains that are formed among them. The engine runs daily. It executes 218 drug-related queries. It collects the results provided in the first 7 pages of Google, identifies the infected results, which are the results that redirect, and follows the redirection chains that are formed, storing all this information for later processing. The types of queries that we run reveal our intention to study different motivations from users. This is a small set of queries that we run every day. So we have queries for people that want to get drugs and they don't have a prescription. We have queries for people who may have a prescription but they want to buy a drug online, possibly because of its lower price. And we also have queries for people who are merely looking for information, for example, for drug dosage. As you may see, they range from pretty innocuous to gray and bad ones. Selecting a fairly comprehensive corpus is definitely not a trivial task. If you're interested, I invite you to read the relevant section in our paper. The aggregated results reveal the effect of the search redirection attack. We categorize the collected results in 5 categories. We have source infections, which are the result of the source redirection attack. They are not online pharmacies. They are just infected websites like the UMass website that I showed you earlier. We have healthy sources, online pharmacies, and blog and forum spam. Over 50% of the results we collected were infected, and regardless of our effort to discover legitimate pharmacies, we managed to identify just 9 of them throughout the collection period of the 9 months. The position of all these results is also interesting because who is looking past the first few results, not to mention past the first page. It is striking how consistently all types of manipulation have crowded out legitimate health resources across all health positions. In this graph, the horizontal axis shows the percentage of the results in each category that occupy a given search result position. And the vertical axis represents one or a range of search result positions. Across all positions, the results can be assigned to each of the 5 categories we saw earlier with a roughly known probability. So most of the times we see blog and forum spam, then we see illegal pharmacies. The third most popular category are the search redirecting websites, And finally, with roughly a chance of just 5% in this position, we see a legitimate pharmacy. The trends that we observe are also very interesting. In this graph, each line represents the amount of results per category that we collect every day. The points, the horizontal axis, represent 2 weeks' worth of collection data, while the vertical axis represents the number of domains collected in each collection period for each category. The gap that you see around November is not hiding any life-changing event. Partial data that we have available are in accordance with the trend of the lines. So as you can see from the green and red lines on the lower part of the graph, the number of illicit pharmacies and health resources remains fairly constant. Block and forum spam, which is the blue dotted line, have almost halved throughout the collection period, while source infections double their amount throughout the study. An additional indicator of the prevalence of this advertising technique is the longevity of the infections. The evidence shows that infections are quite persistent. To prove that, we use a survival function which captures the probability of an event, in this case the infection, to survive beyond a specified time. In accordance to that, the graphs here show the probability of website to appear as infected in the search results for more than X days, which is the horizontal axis, given its popularity on your left, denoted by the page rank, and its top-level domain on your right. Analysis of the top-level domain parameter shows that EDU websites stay infected for 4 to 5 times longer than other top-level domains. This is the red line that is way above the other lines. The survival of an infection is also dependent on its reputation, of the website. Highly popular websites have a median infection lifetime of 153 days, while unpopular websites remain infected for just 17 days. It is interesting that 16% of the source infections that we are observing stayed infected throughout our collection period of the 9 months. Now let's switch gears and talk about the analysis of the network formed by the redirection chains. So using data that we collected, we built a directed graph that represents the redirection chains. The nodes represent web domains, and the directed links represent the redirections between domains. The interesting thing that we discovered when we built the aggregated redirection network is that a seemingly disjoint set of infected websites can redirect to the same set of redirect servers, which may indicate that these redirectors are maybe operated by the same group. Also, a seemingly disjoint set of redirect servers can redirect to the same set of pharmacies. I should note that a redirection does not necessarily provide definite conclusions about the type of business relationships that are formed, but we can definitely say that such an observation may indicate the existence of a business relationship between redirect servers and the pharmacies. So since a connected component in the graph indicates some level of business relationship, it was very interesting to observe that given all the collected data, we identified just 34 connected components, with just one containing most of the nodes in the network. There is an important question that arises here. Is there just a single group responsible for all the damage caused? Maybe. We definitely have evidence that most online pharmacies are connected with redirection chains and are obtaining traffic from a large interconnected network of advertising affiliates. But it seems a bit odd that there is just one group or just one campaign. Therefore, we set forth to identify communities within the main component and see if we can make the picture more clear. So we ended up with this fancy graph. We used the community detection algorithm, which identified 73 distinct communities in the main connected component. We denote the communities in this picture with a different color for each one of them. A community in this case represents a set of domains in close relationship to, with each other, possibly part of the same affiliate group or manipulation campaign. Seven of them account for more than half of the nodes in the graph. In other words, a relatively small number of loosely interconnected, possibly distinct operations are responsible for most attacks. Also, most redirect servers in this component operate within 11 autonomous systems, which most often represent registers. It is interesting as well that some registers are overly represented based on their market share. So far, we have seen that the search redirection attacks has outnumbered the legitimate health sources in resources in the results. It has an inclining trend. The infections remain active for a significant amount of time, and that this whole activity is operated by a loosely connected affiliate group. The next question is, how profitable is it? We have a first rough estimation on that. Using a number of sources, we computed a rough estimate of the lower bound of the conversion rate. Here, the conversion rate is the ratio of the realized sales over the number of visitors. We did this by measuring two aspects of the demand side, search query popularity and sales traffic. We also include factor K, which is our conservative assumption that 1 out of 10 customers of an online store that adds a drag in the cart and proceeds to the checkout page will actually end up buying the drag. We have no means of actually estimating more accurately this factor, since we can only observe the demand side. So our estimation for the conversion rate is 0.32%. In other words, for every 1,000 visitors that pharmacies receive each month, they manage to complete about 3 sales. This has more meaning if we compare it with a conversion rate of other forms of illicit advertising. Based on recent studies on email and Twitter spam, the conversion rate that we estimated seems to be much more efficient. It makes much more sense now why the bad guys will start using more extensively this technique to advertise their commodities. They convert more traffic into revenue. Keeping in mind the extent and the efficiency of this activity, it is important to identify actions capable of fighting it. Based on our observations, we identify 3 major strategies to combat this illicit trade. Fixing the infected websites is one way to go. Some might argue that this is the most challenging one, since there is no single authority that there are 1,000 websites and there is no single authority of being in charge of them. However, as I showed you earlier, the main threat lies within the popular websites and within the EDU top-level domain. Identifying and contacting the handful of prominent infected domains is a task that can easily be undertaken. Search engines could play a more active role, that is through detecting search redirection attacks and blocking them from search results. Google recently started displaying a warning when it detects that the website might have been compromised. However, dropping or demoting a search result would be more efficient. The third strategy is the one that I find most intriguing. that is disrupting the affiliate network that is stealing traffic from legitimate websites and redirects it to online pharmacies. To this end, we need to know exactly what we are going after. This graph depicts the in and out degree of the domains in the giant component we saw I showed you earlier. In degree is the number of incoming redirections, and out degree is the number of outgoing redirections. You can see that there is a small number of redirections, about 100 of them, that have high in and out degree. Taking out any one of them would partition the giant component and causing probably a disruption in the affiliate network. I'm not saying that this service cannot come back up possibly at a bulletproof hosting provider. However, we want their operation to be much more difficult by making it much more expensive. I will now briefly talk about the related work before concluding. This study fits under cybercrime econometrics. There are three main methodologies utilized in the bibliography for measuring parameters of cybercrime. First, researchers can passively observe the advertised price of commodities. They usually monitor a variety of channels like IRC discussions or web forums, and they get an idea of the starting price of the commodity. The second technique requires researchers to actively participate in the online exchanges and get more accurate estimations of the amounts exchanged. Finally, the third method is through the collection and mining of publicly available data. Our work and the work that we'll be presenting right after this one fits in this category. And to recap the main points of our work, we saw that there is a main affiliate group that, through its dominating presence, creates an unwelcoming environment for legitimate health resources. They mainly target popular websites and websites within the EDU domain, and the conversion rate they enjoy is relatively higher than other forms of illicit advertising, which makes this technique attractive to them. Thank you. I'll take your questions now.
Hi, I'm Mitch Schwartz. I was wondering if you had any ideas why .edu domains are so much worse at taking down infected websites.
They're worse.
They take longer.
Yes. Possibly because of worse maintenance. And in general, it's very difficult to identify, to detect, whether you have been compromised or not, because unless you visit websites through search results with drug-related terms, you cannot actually see.
Thank you.
I wasn't fully able to follow your conversion computation, and in particular, the top part of how many that 855,000 what?
Oh, this is the traffic that payment sites that we identify receive.
Traffic meaning. HTTP
visitors.
Connections, URLs retrieved from them, distinct IPs visiting them. What does it mean?
So yes, they're distinct IP addresses based on logs that we receive from these sites. We manage to get.
Yeah.
though that may or may not be something structural about how those people set up shop. And the reason I'm pushing on it somewhat is, you know, from our paper earlier today, that totals more than the entire, all the affiliate programs together in orders per day.
Yes, it's over.
So there's a discrepancy there, and it would either be those affiliate programs are completely separate from these. So what's the basis for you believe they are? So the overall interpretation is there's two sort of fully separate ecosystems for Viagra. Yeah, because it's pretty striking, and either way would be illuminating.
Hi, my name is Lucas Ballard. I have a couple questions. The first one, I was wondering if you could talk about your query selection a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, you said that there are certain queries like searching for Cialis, and then there's another class, no prescription Cialis, and then there's another class of like pharmacy Cialis. So those are three different classes, basically. I was wondering if you could talk about when you're searching for, when you're looking for the bad stuff on purpose, how often when you're looking for the good stuff, how often the bad stuff, the queries from the bad sites actually outperform the queries for the good sites, the results for the good sites?
Well, we didn't distinguish the results based on the type of queries that we are running. They are aggregated results for all the queries that we have. But it would be interesting to see exactly what you're saying.
Okay, because like the search engine optimization, it makes, I mean, it's clearly a problem. But if the people are asking for bad content, then is, you know, maybe it's a philosophical question, is the search engine actually giving them what they're asking for?
Well, by manually searching for almost all these queries, when initially starting doing the study, we always would always see results that were infected.
Okay.
But I don't have specific numbers of the distribution.
Okay. And another quick question, you talk about the rising trend in the number of domains that you're seeing. I was wondering if those are domains on distinct IPs or if they're just raw domains, because there isn't a lot of domain rotation out there, so it could just be that you're going through burned domains.
Just domains, no IP addresses.
Okay. Thanks.
Hi, Stefan Savage. So I'm following up to Vern about the conversion rate is some of the really interesting questions around all of this data. And I think my experience as well has been that there's a fair amount of distinct pharmacy affiliates advertising via the web versus spam. But there are some overlaps, and I don't think, and it is curious that the numbers are so different. There's two things that we ran into. I'm wondering if you've thought about them that create sources of bias. One is, you looked at accesses to these particular pharmacy pages as an estimator, and if you look at how affiliate programs end up being set up, they have this distinction between on-shop billing versus mm-hmm. off-shop billing.
Yes.
And off-shop billing is the one where they do the redirect. Increasingly popular is what's called on-shop billing, where you don't have a redirect to a third-party site, and in fact it's encoded within a PHP request,
mm-hmm.
and so as a result it does not constitute a distinct visible browser get to the other site. Would those be accounted for? I mean, will the Alexa data account for?
We didn't include the payment sites that were within the same domain of the pharmacy. We only took into account the external websites.
So that's a lot, and that would actually make this number even bigger.
Yes, it's a low estimation.
So the other one that I only became aware of relatively recently, there is this group that goes around and all they do is log in to payment sites for pharmas and put in crap, all right? And so that can play a role in interpreting numbers like these, because it's basically the old network email abuse people, and they have a tool and they all run it, and they just log into all of these things and send crap into their payment processing site. Mm-hmm. So something you might want to look into.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I had a question about the PageRank survival, you know, of those sites. I think you showed that those that have high PageRank also have high survival rate. Is that correct? So, and if I interpret it correctly, it means that, you know, usually you have a high PageRank if you're very popular, right?
Yes.
So these sites should be well maintained. So the fact that they have high survival rate does not mean that they don't take care of their servers, but more that they're like reinfected, maybe because they are so highly, you know, valuable to the attackers. Would that be?
Anything I would say would be like my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, the popular websites are targeted because they attract most visitors that can redirect. Now, the reason why they don't get fixed.
Because I would assume that, you know, if they are so highly popular, they have more skillful administrators than universities, where it's volunteer service. Right? Okay, so the other thought I had, and maybe that's like totally, you know, tangential to what you're doing, but it seems possible that people who click on the, you know, on such advertisements to buy such kind of drugs are not very technically savvy or like, you know, security savvy, right? So it would be possible, instead of infecting all those servers, just to infect, you know, clients on those you know, poorly secured machines, so that when you are visiting Google site, it rewrites the replies and points you to the you know, to malicious servers.
Well, I'm assuming that the bad guys are interested in volume, and they want to be able to attract as many people as they can in their websites, in their pharmacy stores. So yes, that would be something that they could do, but I'm sure that volume comes from this technique.
Okay, so if you have further questions, I suggest you take offline. And let's thank the speaker again.